are very excited now to bring in the coach, Phil Martelli. Coach Martelli, my good friend, how are you? How's life? How are things, partner?
Well, I'm just going to say this about this profession that I've chosen. There was only one person in the country that could hijack the national championship day, could get people to talk about something other than Caitlin Clark or Dawn Staley, and that is my man, John Calipari. So how are we? Who knows? It all depends on what's going to happen at 6:45, because a whole lot has happened with eclipses and earthquakes on the East Coast. And I'll be honest with you. I'm doing great, though. I am I'm anxious for the game tonight. I'm actually anxious to watch my Philadelphia Phillies play at St. Louis for a little bit. And I'm anxious to talk to you guys about hoops and life.
So, Coach, since we're going to go there, Coach, please tell me how this game has changed since you've been in it. I mean, this doesn't even look like the same game, and I guess I could say that about a lot of our different our sports. But, man, basketball, just this atmosphere, just everything about this game has changed a lot.
I appreciate you asking me that, Lomas. I've been prepping all day for you to ask me if I was ever in the 700 level at the Veterans Stadium when you went there to play. Oh. And the answer is no. I'm a baseball guy. I wasn't a football guy, but you know everybody in Philly had to be an Eagles fan. So,
yes.
And I apologize if they ever said anything about you. You know, you make a really great point, because I just got back from Phoenix. And literally every conversation, every meeting I was in, every sidebar conversation in the hotel lobbies, elevators, it was all transfer portal and NIL. And I feel sad. I feel sad because what Connecticut has done over this 2-year period, and where they've run over everybody, and how they're doing it. You know, like, yes, Klingon's a star, and the young man, Stephen Castle, in the backcourt is a probable NBA player, and then Matt Painter coming from losing to a 16 seed last year, and Zach Edey, two-time player of the year, and it's all of the other conversations. No disrespect. And, well, women's basketball has overtaken men's basketball because of viewership. But it comes back to how much are kids getting paid? Why are kids going to 3 and 4 schools? I do. I feel badly for the game. I feel badly for the profession. And I want to be a guy with a glass half full to say, we are going to come out of this. We are going to come out of it. We have to get some guardrails on NIL. We have to get guardrails on transfer portal. And I hope that we're all seeing a great, great game tonight that we can celebrate the game and not the periphery, which is really what we're doing right now.
You know, and Coach, and kind of on the heels of that, I wanted to ask you, because of the portal and the constant jockeying from team to team, it's like musical chairs, right, with a lot of these kids, 2, 3, 4 schools. And you think about the viewership, and I go to Caitlin Clark, and congratulations to the women's. They did a great job. Dawn Staley there at South Carolina, Lisa there at Iowa. I mean, both coaches have done a great job. But the women's game in general, it seems like there's been more stability. Do you think that the instability in the rosters has maybe hurt some of the connection that fan bases once had with their teams?
And you know what the thing is? The number of transfers in women's basketball is almost the same as men's basketball. But what they and that entity have been able to do is they've eliminated the insanity. So, for instance, Joey Smith puts his name in, and then an hour later, he's on social media telling you, these 35 schools contacted me. So my question is, who would have the time or the energy or the inclination to list all 35 schools that contacted you? How about if we do this with a little bit of dignity and a little bit of less self-centeredness, right? How about if it didn't work at school A, why are you going to school B? And when you're going to school B, let's get it narrowed down. Is it you want to be closer to home? You want a bigger role? You want a different major? What is it that you want? But are we just all seeking self-gratification? So in women's, if they have the same number, but we don't perceive that to be, well, as daunting a problem. I do believe that young lady, Caitlin Clark, and what she did at Iowa, being in state and being now in the Midwest and understanding how powerful these brands are, like the Iowa brand, the Michigan brand, and how much pride the alums and the people associated with the schools put into it, I do think that played a role. But, for instance, the young lady at LSU, Angel Reese, anybody ever talk about her? Like, she transferred. She went to Maryland and transferred to LSU. But everybody out there that even casually follows women's basketball associates her with LSU. Meanwhile, let's pick a guy in our area, Terrence Shannon. Well, he's a transfer. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to be labeled, but certainly the fans that sit in Chrysler, they want to be able to identify with a young person that is identifiable with Michigan, not just Michigan basketball, but Michigan University. So I don't want to compare one to the other. But I want to say, yeah, the beauty in college fanaticism, if you want to say fans, the beauty has always been that they fully support the name on the front of the jersey, and they want the kids to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. So, Coach, let me ask you this, and I'm just asking, Coach. We see the coaches move around too a lot.
Yep.
I remember you at St. Joe's, Dean Smith at North Carolina, Coach Campy at Oakland University 40 years. You know, you had coaches that stayed at these universities and became institutions there mm-hmm. at these universities. Do you think some of that is kind of helped navigate where we are today, where we got the student athlete moving around as much as they have or as much as they are?
I don't think there's anything wrong with transferring for the right reasons. I don't think there's anything wrong for coaches moving around because they do have a financial bite in it in terms of their buyouts. I think one of the things that we are missing, and maybe it's a societal thing, but loyalty is not a, you know, yes. loyalty and yes. like in the world that you came from when you would hear somebody say, yeah, I gave them a hometown discount. I don't think, but that goes both ways,
mm-hmm.
right? That goes both ways. And you know, for a school not to stay with, you see a lot of guys now, like 2 years, they're getting 2 years to flip this thing around because maybe the guy at Kansas State was able to do it because he brought in 8 transfers. Is that what you want as an administrator? Is that what you want as a board of regents? I don't know. I don't like it because I would say to those players in the most difficult of times or in times of celebration, when you want to call somebody to say, hey, I'm getting married, or I had the birth of my first child, or hey, I just got a promotion at work, and you've been to 2 or 3 or 4 schools, who are you going to call?
Mm.
And then on the flip side, if it's not celebratory, you lose a loved one. You lose a job. You lose your way, right? You lose your way. And I'm going to raise my hand. You know, it's public knowledge. I had Delonte West for 3 years at St. Joe's. There's not a week that goes by where I'm not reaching out and it. And yeah, there's trials and tribulations going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a way, and he knows it and his family knows it, if there's a way that I can lift him, all he has to do is call. Had he been to 2 or 3 or 4 schools,
mm-hmm.
maybe he would be even more of a lost soul. So that's where I feel. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing to instill loyalty and a place of home? Like, you can always come back in the good times or the bad. You can come back, and we're it's just not being promoted.
Wow, Coach, that's such a great point there. That's incredible. I think you're one of my good friends, Jason Candle. He's the head football coach at Toledo. You'll like this one, Coach Martelli. He always said some kids love football and some kids love being recruited, right? And I that's kind of always stuck with me. I was like, oh yeah, some kids do like being told how great they are. Now to some kids or some young men who really are great. Let's go on to the court, Coach, because this game tonight between 2-1 seeds, this really feels like a little bit of a throwback. Like, we're going to have great guard play. We've got some wings that can shoot it, and we've got some just humongous human beings in the paint.
There's your throwback. The ball is actually going to go into the low post. Holy mackerel. Now, if you've watched it, you know, like when we had Hunter, I think we were top five in the country in low post touches. And Juwan loved to play that way, tried to play that way even with Tyrus Reed. This year, before Hunter, it was John Teske. But that ball will go in the low post. And for the people that are watching this with that, like, coaching eye, watch the number of ways that Purdue is able to get Edie on a high-low, where they really make it a focal point to make sure that he gets the touches. And then I think from a strategic point, it's whether or not Connecticut chooses to double, or are they going to play – because the backup kid, Sampson, and I forget his last name, but the kid Sampson is the backup to Donovan Klingon. He's a terrific defender. If they're going to leave those two guys on an island and say, you know what, we're going to challenge Zach Edey to get 40, but we're not going to let these other guys get double figures. It's going to be terrific. Klingon is a great runner. What a shot blocker. And he has certainly used, coming back from his injury this year, he has used this to springboard him to be a, I would think, a certifiable lottery pick in the next level.
Yeah. Coach, any coaching advice to your sons? I see where you got Jimmy. He's an assistant at Penn State. And you have Phil Jr., who's the head coach at Bryant. Any coaching advice? You're on the phone with those guys constantly?
Well, I've never purported myself to be this X and O genius, but what I say to them all the time is that it's not about man or zone, it's not about transition, it's not about your inbounds plays. This is a business and a profession about people, and make sure that you touch each and every person with respect each and every day. I'll just give you a quick sidebar. I was walking through the lobby in Phoenix with my wife on Saturday night or Friday night, and a young kid came over to me and he introduced himself, and he was a guy looking for a job. He was a video coordinator in women's basketball, and he said, I had to stop you because I sent out 100 letters asking for advice and asking just to talk to somebody. He said, I was a college senior. He said, 1 out of 100 answer me, and it was your son. Wow. And I looked at my wife and I said, job well done. Job well done. Because this kid, he said, and he didn't blow me off. He gave me a 35 minutes on the phone. And I said, you know what? That's more important to me than any win that he could have, any contract he can sign, any sneaker deal he can get, or any clinic he speaks at. This is about coaching, is about people. And we want to respect everybody that we come in contact with, because respect given will then lead to respect received. Don't flip it around and think you got to get it because you're a coach. Get it because of the person that you are.
Boy, that's a lot of wisdom here, Coach Martelli. This is clinical. So now I got to ask you here, what's next for you, Coach Martelli? What's on tap? What's the rest of your summer look like? What's the next venture?
Well, the next venture is packing up here in Ipsy, and I have to admit, I just learned how to spell Ipsy after 5 years, so I'm a little bit disappointed. But I'm gonna pack up. I'm gonna head home, and I'm going home to make a difference. And where I would like to start is, I'd love to have a chance to, if I'm good enough, to do games on TV. I'm gonna put together a little mosaic of my I want to go home and I want to get into executive leadership, mentorship. If you have a company and you think I can come in and tell stories, and not just for yucks, but like meaningful, like these are some things. And I think you can be CEO, you can be chief financial officer, you can be the head of sales or whatever. But I would suggest that what you're doing is coaching, because you're touching people. And I'd like to share that. So I'd like to go home, hang a shingle, and see if I can't help school districts. Can I help?
Wow.
Can I help corporate Philadelphia? Can I help corporate Detroit? Can I kind of spread a little bit? And then the third thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to be in a position, maybe it's with the NABC, National Association of Basketball Coaches, maybe it's with the NCAA, where I would be an advisor to coaches, like a consultant, not X's and O's, but how are you going to deal with the media? Mm. How are you going to deal with your community? What charities and if you're a head coach, how are you going to interact with your alums and your assistant coaches? All of those, and here's how I would say this, fellas. That's in my brain, and it's going to happen. I know it. I just, and I'm not wishing and hoping. I'm going to make those three things happen. If I'm good enough in media, check it. If I can get into executive leadership, I just want one shot, and that will lead to 3 and 4 and 5 other shots, and then it'll grow from there. And then I'd like to get involved with helping the game. The bottom line is, I'm going to make a difference, and it's going to be at home in Philadelphia.